I'm quite sure that there are some of you who have not remembered that we would like to start this half of the seminar with the awareness of God's presence uppermost in your mind. So I'll bring it to your attention again. If it is established that I am not in this chair, but God consciousness is, that's where we want to be. Not only will that be true of you at this moment, but if it's not true of you at every moment throughout your life, you are unguarded and unprotected. You're never at one with God unless you're aware of being at one with God. And if you're letting a random thought come through your mind that has nothing to do with God's business, that's the moment. Lightning can strike, anything can happen. At that moment, if you're Jack Kennedy, you may be dead. One is always unprotected at the moment one is unaware of the presence of God, because that is your protection, that presence. And if you haven't graduated to the idea that that presence is you, you haven't caught the infinite way yet. That is how precise it is and how perfect it is. Wherever God is, I am. Wherever I am, God is. For I and the Father are one, always. And that always does never stop. If you're in a state of oneness with the Father, you're always in a state of oneness with the Father. And it makes no difference if it appears that you and Father are apart, or where you are, or if you're on the earth. The oneness that you establish in consciousness can be eternal. Please don't be satisfied with the momentary presence of God, because there's no such thing. The God who's with you for one moment can't be away from you the next. This must be established more and more and more until we wake up with that awareness. Right where I am, God is. I'm not worried this morning about whether or not I'm going to do well in the office. I know that God is with me. That's the only assurance I need. If God is apart from me, I won't do well in the office. So there is an opportunity for everyone to realize that where the presence of God goes, I go. And wherever I go, the presence of God goes. If that were a 24-hour consciousness, it would be a 24-year consciousness, because it takes a day of assurance to establish it for a long, long time. The slightest flicker of doubt in your minds about how you will fare in a certain circumstance is the absence of God in your consciousness. And this has to be closer than breathing, this awareness. It has to become as unconscious as breathing. So that taking a breath, which I do easily, becomes an opportunity to say that what I can do in this physical world, I can do in the spiritual world just as easily. Now think of the circumstances that you haven't been able to take advantage of because you were trying to do it. Every human encounter that is without this awareness becomes a chance. The dice can roll either way. When you approach every circumstance continuously, and it is not impossible, with God's presence is here, you will discover you have found a great new weapon. Life is instantly transformed. I would like now to enter the inner sanctuary in the quiet of your consciousness. And go about the Father's business as that 12-year-old boy showed us to do. And I heard a loud voice saying, "Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God." You'll notice that the salvation and strength of the kingdom of our God is a very quiet time around here, whereas before that it was not very quiet. But our awareness of God's presence brings the silence. You produce the silence. And the power of his Christ. No matter what you see or hear around you, this is where you are at. And this is a controlling factor in life. Your awareness of the presence of God when all around you can be anything that wants to be there. Just as Jesus. There was turbulence on the water, but he was the living presence of God, and he walked on the water. Other men could not. The living presence of God to do this can do anything you want it to do, provided that what you want it to do is what God wants. Remember then, wherever you are, the other people there do not know about the presence of God. But you cannot let that condition continue. You must instantly supply that presence by your awareness. You need say nothing. You simply know. Right here in this turbulence is God. Right there is God. In that ward, in that hospital, right in the middle of all those diseases is God. If it were known and it was stayed in, if it were respected for what it is, we would notice a change there. Always the absence of God in the consciousness of man results in the absence of God in the experience of man. If it's in your consciousness, it's in your experience. If it's not in your consciousness, it's not in your experience. As you sow, so shall you reap. And I don't think there's a more important lesson to learn. Because you decide every second whether God is with you or not. And when you decide that God is with you, the power of God is with you. The wisdom of God is with you. The love is with you. All of the seven keys. Anytime the presence of God is present in your consciousness, that's what is missing. If you turn it off, it's not in your experience. So therefore, the wise man says, if all I have to do is to keep God in my consciousness, what foolish thing would I do if I go out and walk in the street unaware of God's presence? The car can hit me, something can fly at me, anything can happen to me, my heartbeats won't go right. And why won't they? Because I don't know God is present. Isn't that simple? And we don't. But we shall. Now in here, although salvation has come, and strength and the kingdom of God, and it's Christ. There is a momentary lull in that assurance. And again, there is a problem for the woman. They overcame him, the dragon, by the blood of the Lamb. Now maybe that's another way of saying just what I've been saying to you. Because the blood of the Lamb is the awareness of God's presence. And that's all it takes. You must remember this chapter 13, I think, and 12, I guess. Because you've got to read it again and again and again. And you've got to read it so often that you see every little quirk and every little turn. And you remember how Christ is re-established. Chapter 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heaven, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. You see, we were given so many years for this woman to be free. Now the devil is going to redouble his efforts. That is, mortal mind. When you are established in God, mortal mind is trying to unestablish you. It'll get into your consciousness one way or another, but you're going to stand there in that consciousness. And this is what happens. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. No one has told you that you will escape persecution. No one has told you that no one will be knocking at your door wanting to get in. The dragon will now persecute the woman who received revelation. Why? Because revelation is uncovering the truth, and the untruth becomes reactive. The untruth takes the shape of politicians, people who are in favor of one thing that the truth is not in favor of. All the opposition to what you are establishing comes at you. It may not look to you like the presence of God can handle it. You maybe haven't seen it before. But no matter what comes at you, resist not. There's nothing to resist. You say, what about all those people out there? Those with the knives, those with the daggers, those with the malicious tongues. You're just caught in the trap of seeing them. They're not there. And you've got to know that because Christ is here, they can't be there. Because there's no Christ and. But if you accept them as there, you have accepted the absence of Christ. It's hard to remember in a decisive time when life hangs in the balance, when the things you treasure seem to be ripped away. But that's the very time you need this awareness most. You will be challenged. You won't be totally free, but you will be free in actuality. Where you won't be free is in your thoughts. So try as if you had a companion going with you every day. Call him Christ, if you will. And remember, he's there. It doesn't matter what you see. He's there. And remember that whatever he is involved in comes out the way he wants it. I don't care if you're swimming and you're drowning, climbing a mountain or falling off. If you are aware of the Christ, that's your salvation. Whatever you need to get you safely back home will be done. And I'd like someday for this type of conversation to be unnecessary, when we all know that the Christ presence is my Savior, and that the Christ presence is all there is of me, that what appears as me is nothing, and the Christ presence is all. When you get to that level, by practice, you'll find that you're in the secret place which prevents any intruder, whether it's a man or an idea or an object, any intruder will not be able to enter the secret place because it is not on the earth. It is the miracle of Christ. It is the invisible, incorporeal, immortal Christ. And you better hearken to those words, for that is who you are. Now try to imagine yourself as being what you are. It's like an imagination because you're not aware that you're that. Try to imagine an invisible, incorporeal, self. Walking into the world. What can happen to such a self? You're saying to yourself, thou couldst have no power over me. You can't even find me. And yet I am right where you, the flesh, appear. I am everywhere. But no one can find me. Do you practice your invisibility? Most likely you do not. Consequently, you're not inviting the Christ presence in your life. It never becomes visible. We are not fully aware yet of the miracle of God individualizing as the Christ of us. And though I keep repeating it, I know that I'll have to keep repeating it for a long time, because it takes all of the repetition to make an individual believe that it's true. We can even believe it's true for this moment, but not the next, or maybe 10 days from now. It's so elusive. So you'll find that when you practice it, it knows that it's elusive. And the way it will prove itself to you will be in many surprising ways, so that you will remember. But you see, you have the advantage of being conscious of it now and then, and trying to be conscious of it more often. And that is the advantage, because Spirit will help you. Spirit will find a way to be in your consciousness more often. And then Spirit will find a way to become your consciousness. Meanwhile, you're losing your individuality. You're losing your identity. And it's bitter, isn't it? We don't like that. I like to have my individuality. I like to have the Christ, but I want myself too, because I like to tell people about the Christ and what it does for me. But I can't. I'm dividing my interest. I'm dividing my consciousness. I've got to be it, and not talk about it as if it was something unconnected to me. And then after I get it connected, I've got to see that what it's connected to isn't real, because it's all of me. And that's a difficult thing for people. They just don't quite accept the allness of Christ. I don't mind being connected, but I still want that me there. And there's still a part of you that must therefore die. This dragon is going to find that part of you that must die, and it's going to work through it. That's your weak spot. That's where you're totally unprotected. And this dragon in this book will get after the woman. It will drive her out of the city. Don't forget, those two wings are there to protect you. To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she nourished for a time and time and a half. There is this respite, this breathing time, when she's out of the scheme of things, when she's apart. But she's got to go back, because the world must receive this Christ. And when one withdraws because she cannot do what she has to do, then she not only suffers, but the people suffer around her. Because when she withdraws, instead of fighting the inner battle and winning, and other people don't fight the inner battle either. So you're not living alone. When you say, this is too hard for me, you're deciding it's too hard for a lot of people. When you say, I can do it, you're also going to decide that for a lot of other people. It says here, the earth helped her. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. The entire imagery is one in which the dragon attempts to drown the woman, and she's only a woman, but the earth helps her. When you are faithful to your purpose, and I'm going back every moment to those seven purposes, when you are faithful to them, you will find that what is called the earth helping her will happen to you. Your fidelity to God's will is a fulfillment of those seven purposes. And in that fidelity, you build automatic protection against any obstacle. You can't be poor. You can't be unhealthy. You can't lack anything. Your fidelity to the seven keys is what activates Christ in you. That's the theme of the Christ message. That's the theme of Revelation. As you remain faithful to seeking, to expressing, to finding, to living, to seeing the Christ even in your enemy, you have discovered the secret of life. There has to be a point where you are reaching for something you find hard to reach. Because if you find something easy to reach, you haven't found the Christ. It is difficult. But as you're seeking to be in tune with this difficult light, this miracle light which converts everything to the power of God, to the life of God, to the wisdom of God, which opens the kingdom for you, this is beyond anything you could dream of. It is made figures in the Bible, great masters of the truth. I don't know what it will make of you. It will make something different than the world could expect. But it will make something wonderful. Something that, at any given moment, brings the presence of God into action. Can you imagine it? At any given moment, you can bring the presence of God into action in every given circumstance. And that's a power that God gave to you. And you have not been aware of that power. This power is now being exercised by the woman. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I wish we could write that on our forehead, that we can show it to the world without fanfare, without even stopping to tell them, just by living in it. This is the birth of revelation during the last 2,000 years on earth. The birth of contact with the divine power. I don't believe anyone who really hears it will ever forget it. Because in the book called the Bible, you are given that which is. And that which is always is. It never stops being an active force. And this active force is not a stranger to you because it is your being. But it is only your being when you are being, not becoming. The difference between being and becoming is life and death. If you're still becoming, you haven't accepted that you are being. And being is always itself, always the Christ. Always God power. I have stressed with you today that the nowness of God must be realized in order to act now. I suspect you will remember it. I suspect, too, that when you remember it and practice it, that you will notice a difference in your life. It's like a flower that has water and doesn't have water. You know, if you don't feed it water, it doesn't grow. There's no doubt about it. And the water that you feed yourself is the awareness, the conscious awareness of God's presence. something happens to me. So I'm going to ask you once more to take it into consciousness. I am aware that God is present. And I am aware of God's presence no matter what I'm doing. What I'm doing doesn't stop my awareness of it. And if I'm aware of it 24 hours a day, then I reap the benefit of it 24 hours a day. Where God's presence is, there are related advantages. It's not amazing that in the kingdom of God, one doesn't grow old. In the presence of God, you can't grow old. There's no such thing. There's no time to grow old in. You'll be living with people you couldn't be amazed at their ages because they don't have any, but if you'd spell it out, you'd be amazed. There is no age and there is no growing old when you have passed a certain level of understanding. And the person who becomes the Christ can't, of course, show you his age because he's invisible. In the invisible universe of the Father, there's no such thing as dying. No one was born into it. And when Paul said, "I live, yet not I, Christ liveth my life," he was saying, I have discovered the secret of being aware of his presence, and he lives my life, and I don't do a thing. Because I have discovered that I am not alive. Christ is alive. And that is who I am. Do you see that when you graduate into Christhood, you move out of the belief in mortality and you leave the form behind you?